some great. Roz is on the call today, and I know, Roz, your experience around working with Coach Roy, you want to just share a little bit on that? If she's here. Roz.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there's Roz. Roz has been with, how many programs have you been with the coach?
I've done 3 programs with Coach Roy, and I had done a lot of personal development programs beforehand. Similar to Clem, I had done Landmark Education, and they were wonderful in learning about the things in my way that had actually caused me to not succeed in the way that I had the potential to. And since doing Coach Roy's program, what he's basically done is taken me through his guidance to completely different levels of accomplishment where I had no idea that I could actually break barriers, move forward in my life. And just to give you an example, when we first started with the very first Coach Roy program, my husband and I made a commitment that we were going to do Manatech full-time. And we literally quit our full-time jobs and had $500 income coming in. We had a couple of regional positions in Manatech. And within that whole coaching program, which is about a 17-week program, we went up 6 times almost in income. And then we had a major move from Florida down up to Arkansas, Eureka Springs. We had won the incentive on the Alaska cruise. And we had so many interruptions in our lives, and our focus was totally not on our business. And just by being in the program gave us a really steady space to stand in to help us through that period where it was just a lot of chaos. And then going into the new program that we just completed a couple of weeks ago brought us right back and beyond, and we've won the Mexican incentive, the airfares, the computer for the national director. It just keeps moving forward and forward and forward and forward, and it's just, I think, incredible. And I say to everybody, get into the program and stay in the program, because each time
there you go. All right, Melody, you got it?
How do you find out?
Yeah, I'd love to talk personally with Roz and her husband if, you know, she, if you give me her phone number or something.
I don't mind. It's 479-253-9807.
Okay,
just repeat it one more time.
479-253-9807.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Wonderful. All right, guys, I'm going to put you on mute because I've got to get through our intro to 7 Habits, and I will probably run over about 5 or 10 minutes today, so if you can stay with us, great. Okay, so hang on. Let me get you on mute to cut out the background noise. Okay, great. Let's jump in. So we're talking about, and if you want to get the book, some of you already have it, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. It's a great book, and many of us have it in our library, but many of us have been collecting dust on it. So you might want to pull it out and just kind of follow along with us week to week. We'll probably cover, next week we'll cover habit number one. Today's just an overview of what this book is all about to give you some ideas of where we're going to go in terms of direction. But 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, of course, written by Stephen Covey, and he has a great new book out there called The 8th Habit, which I also highly recommend. But let's jump in and talk about some of the basic underlying principles that are going on in the book and what you can have an expectation around. Stephen Covey talks about paradigms. Paradigms, correct or incorrect, are the sources of our attitudes and behaviors and ultimately our relationships with others. That's a quote from Stephen Covey. They're the sources of our attitudes and behaviors and ultimately our relationships with others. For those of you who've been doing Clemmer work, you would call paradigms would be programs or sunglasses. Language is, they mean the same thing, they just use different words to tie that in. All of us come from different paradigms, different sunglasses through which we see the world. You put on a pair of green sunglasses, a white shirt looks green. You're going to see it differently because you come from a different paradigm. You have different experiences in life that have helped create these programs or sunglasses or paradigms through which you experience life. It's how you look at yourself and how you look at the rest of the world. It looks differently. You perceive it differently because of the paradigms under which you're operating. Once you become more familiar with the paradigms through which you're operating, you can take more responsibility for them. You can test them, do they work for me or not work for me, and then you can choose to change them. And that's the premise here. It's about understanding those paradigms. we can make minor changes in our lives by working on things like attitudes and behaviors. And you guys are familiar with that because a lot of you have been to motivational seminars. Jim Rohn does great motivational seminars. You walk out of those things, you're on total fire. 2 weeks later, where are you with it? It's all burned out. The fire has burned out. Because when you work on attitudes, all you're doing is it's temporary. They only change the surface. Behavior is the same thing. B.F. Skinner work, all the things about behavior modification. You can do behavior modification, but if you're not working at the core, i.e. the paradigms or the programs or the internal belief systems, even after changing behavioral patterns, those things are going to shift back because the core remains the same. So if you really want to, if you want to stay away from minor changes and say, hey, I want to change it. I want to have leaps and bounds. I want to become a total abundance thinker. I want to live every day from core values. I want to shift my life in a significant way. It's going to take looking at the paradigms that are holding us back. What are those belief systems? What are those programs? And then shift in that direction. So it's just, it takes, and a lot of that takes, as Clemmer would do it, would be through experiential work. Of course, Covey's doing it in his book. He's telling you about habits to build and things like that to change, to get a view of what those paradigms are and really work on that. An exercise you can do, and each one of these I put a little exercise for you so that you can work through it yourself. To just kind of get a flavor of what we're talking about when you talk about paradigm shift, it's a concept of what it, think about all the different ways that you can drive home. You've got like 100 different routes that you could possibly take. Now, some of them are, when I say 100 different, I'm just saying you could take ridiculous patterns of behavior in terms of driving a different way home. Now, if you think in terms of doing that, what if you took a totally different way home? What would be your reaction? You'd have different feelings, different emotional reactions on a different route. You would experience something different. You'd see different houses, you'd see different people, you'd see different environments. It would be a totally different experience for you to take a different route home. Now I want you to think about the same thing. Look at the way you interact with people. Are there not several ways to approach people? I mean hundreds of thousands of ways to approach people. What new ways might you try? And start thinking in that realm. What is controlling the way you approach people? You are. Your programs, your privilege. Can you shift and make differences in that based on coming to different belief systems? Like here was one of mine. I came to the belief system that after acknowledging there is not another person like Mary Jo on the face of the earth because no one has had the same upbringing, the same, you know, experiences I've had in my life. And all of those have formulated my belief system and my attitudes and my paradigms. So if it's true that I am unique in my own self, what does that mean about every other human being out there? They are unique in themselves also. And I can never have the experiences they've had in life because I can't live two lives. I can just live my life. So what a beautiful thing for me to make that shift in my attitude, in my paradigm, and say, you know, every single person has something to offer me because they have this incredible uniqueness of their experiences that have formed different belief systems. And if I can learn from their belief systems and attitudes so I don't have to live that whole life experiences they've had in order to get the knowledge that they've gained from those experiences, what a beautiful thing. So all of a sudden, I started approaching people with a totally different perspective. It was from, wow, what? Let me learn from them. They all have something to teach me. So you can see how, you know, little shifts in paradigms can really make major differences in how you approach people. Okay, so that's our paradigms. We have the underlying core principle that we understand about. There's paradigms in there. There are programs that are running our life. There's sunglasses we wear, and that's what's controlling probably 98% of the decisions we make every day and how we behave. The second concept brings up in terms of, you know, looking at this whole book is the principles. Principles are universal. They transcend cultures and geography. They're also timeless. They never change. Principles such as fairness and kindness and respect, honesty, integrity, service, contribution. Some of you look at these principles and say, well, Mary Jo, those are values. I say, yeah, values and principles are very much aligned, okay? But they're universal. Natural laws like gravity and the principles like fairness, honesty, integrity, trust, basically control the consequences of choices you make. They control the consequences of choice you make. An example for you is this. When you abuse the environment like we have with toxic waste and toxic dumps and toxins in our air and fuel emissions and all this stuff, what's the result? We get bad air. We get bad water. For those of us who believe in it, we get global warming. I mean, we create a lot of disasters in our environment because we abuse it. Well, the same thing happens to you in relationships. Trust, which is the glue of all relationships, and of course, Manatech is nothing more than a relationship-building business. It's all about building relationships. Trust is the glue that holds it together. And we compromise trust when you consistently violate the principles of kindness and honesty. You're going to lose that trust. So it's important to understand how they interplay there, that you can't keep abusing principles and thinking you're going to come out ahead. You're destroying the ever essence of what we're here for, which is that relationship. Now, one of the things that he talks about in this book is he gets involved with the effectiveness of you as a human being. And the effectiveness you have as a human being relies on the balance of P and PC. Let's talk about that principle for a while because he carries it throughout the book. P is the production of the desired results. So for us in Manatech, if you're looking at your business, it's, you know, I put the golden eggs in the outline, but that's the goose and the golden eggs. For us in Manatech, it's our GPV, our associate signups, our checks we get in the mail. That's our desired results. Our desired results is P. That's production of the desired results. Our increase in GPV, associate signups, checks, how much money we're making, all that. The PC is the production capacity, or the goose. What creates the results is the goose. For us in Manatech, what creates the results is what? The people. It starts with you, and, of course, your business leaders and business partners underneath you. That's your production capacity. So there has to be effectiveness lies in the balance of P and PC. What does that mean, Mary Jo? It means this, that we can't be focused on results 24/7 because we get out of balance and you'll lose your effectiveness. What happens to so many of us is we start neglecting and abusing the physical, financial, human resources. We stop making investments in the production capacity. You got to feed the goose. You got to groom the goose. You got to water the goose. You got to give the goose rest. You got to, you know, okay, that's for goose and golden eggs. For us, we need to exercise. We need to eat well. We need to increase our skills. We need to invest in ourselves. We need to invest in relationships that contribute to the quality of our life. We need to get the balance. We need to support our physical, spiritual, mental, and social and emotional sides. All of that needs to be in balance. If you allow results and GPV and associate signups and checks to run your life, you're going to totally fall out of balance and you're going to stop being effective. That's why when I do goal setting with people in Manatech, and as you go forward working with your people, when you do goal setting, you should not aim goals only at how many people are you going to contact a week? How many people are going to... It's not about... Many of you have done goal setting with me. You've been in my pathway class or in my downline, and you know that I'm totally committed to having written goals because that's what works. But what goals do you have in your relationships with your family members? What goals do you have financially, Manatech, physical, you know, what, you know, even in your walk in terms of, you know, maybe there's intellectual goals you have. Maybe you want to write a book someday or make some tapes or do some, you know, I want goals in all aspects of your life. I don't focus only on Manatech because I know the effectiveness of people lies in the balance of the production, their results they create, and their commitment to taking care of where the results come from, the production capacity, themselves, their business partners, okay? So important. The seven habits center, when we talk about principles, those seven habits center on timeless and universal principles of personal, interpersonal, managerial, and organizational effectiveness. And here are the principles that they center on. There's seven principles that are behind the seven habits. Number one, the principle of continuous learning or self-re-education. Of course, we know that we want to continue to be investing in our education. That's why it's such a critical part of doing this business. We keep growing in skills. We keep investing in that. Technology today is constantly changing, and so many of us need to just continue to, you know, absorb that in order to stay ahead of the ball. You want to make sure that you're tapping into technology. When we look at Paul Zane Pilser, he talks about the technology gap. He says those people are going to be the next millionaires in this world. They're going to be people that take advantage of the technology gap. They're going to be utilizing it to support and catapult their businesses, and that's what takes continuous learning there. But also investments in ourselves, you know, continuous learning about ourselves. and a good quote on that, it comes, that is what learning is. You suddenly understand something you're understood all your life, but in a new way. That is what learning is. You suddenly understand something you've understood all your life, but in a new way. That's another way of looking at learning. Second principle is the principle of service, of giving oneself to others, of helping to facilitate other people in their endeavors. That's critical. It's a principle of service, servanthood. To serve, Pearl S. Buck, here's a great quote from her, to serve is beautiful, but only if it is done with joy and a whole heart and a free mind. And some of you, when you hear that quote, you can go back to Scripture and know right away 1 Corinthians 13:3. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor but do not have love, it profits me nothing. And that's a very similar concept. It's about serving with love. It's coming from the heartfelt principles. It's a principle of service, servanthood. As you sow, so shall you reap. All those principles, it's a promise of the principle of service. Number three, the third principle is the principle of staying positive and optimistic, radiating positive energy and avoiding the four emotional cancers. I love the concept of these four emotions, you know, because we talk about cancer a lot in our business, and we've been afflicted by it. Many of us have, or family members or loved ones. But he talks about the emotional cancers, criticizing, complaining, comparing, and competing. They are four critical cancers, criticizing, complaining, comparing, and competing. And that's what we need to stay away from. So it's about a principle of staying positive and optimistic. The next principle comes from, let me give you a quote on that one. Peter Houston, of quote, goes, the point of living and of being an optimist is to be foolish enough to believe the best is yet to come. And I just love that one. That's a great one to put down. Okay, the fourth principle is the principle of affirmation of others. Treating people as proactive individuals who have great potential. In other words, you treat people as if they're capable, and you affirm them. And it's always about, you know, reinforcing them to be the best they can be. And how are we doing that? A sense of gratitude of having them in our lives, of keeping positive with them, affirming people to build them into the best they can be. Even when you give somebody feedback, like this weekend when I gave that gal the feedback about those sharp edges in her languaging, that was so obvious to me. I see the love in your heart, but I don't get that in the voice. I don't get it in your expressions. And I want to hear it in your expression. So it was just a really great way of approaching. So affirmation, affirm a person first, and then you're going to be much better received when you have feedback for somebody if you give them an affirmation first. So it's a principle of affirmation of others, you know, treating them as proactive, as capable human beings that have phenomenal potential. And so many times when we get into the comparative mode, which is one of those emotional cancers, we have a tendency to put people down to make ourselves feel better. That's a normal human emotion, and it's so disastrous. So stay away from that at all times. Okay, the next principle of balance. The ability to identify our various roles and to spend appropriate amounts of time and focus in on all of them. And that's really a look at every role we have in life. We're not just Manatech associates. We're mothers, we're grandmothers, we're friends, we're, you know, church members, we're choir members, we you know, run a foundation, or all the different facets to our life. We serve many roles. In fact, when we get into that part of the book, you're going to see where Stephen Covey talks about when you do your to-do list, you have to have support for every role in your life throughout the week. You can't just put a to-do list around Manatech. You got to go, okay, so what am I doing as a mother? What am I doing as a spouse this week? How am I contributing to my husband? What am I feeding? And you can't say, well, I'm contributing because I cook him dinner. Well, great. What are you doing special? What's a goal for the week? What's your to-do list going to do to just generate something sweet and special? If you did something sweet and special with your husband every week, I'm going to tell you, your relationship would change dramatically. We get sometimes caught up in that doldrums because we don't put it as a goal or as something to do on our to-do list. So it's not something that comes just naturally for a lot of us. We have to put that down there. I had that same problem happen with my niece and nephew. I kept going. I had a hard time. I was like, man, I need to spend more time with them, but I wasn't committing. And finally, I put it on my to-do list, and I go, okay, call Renee and David. So I started calling them every. You know, today it's all comes automatic. it comes automatic. But I had to put it on my to-do list and make it a goal that I had to feed into them. Every week I need a phone call. I need to, and I had to force myself to do it because it wasn't a natural thing for me to do. Today I love it. In fact, I feel empty if I don't have it in my life. But we need to focus on building that balance, making sure we're touching every aspect of our life, playing all the roles, and that's the concept of balance in our life. The sixth principle is the principle of spontaneity and serendipity. And some of us, especially people in the analyst quadrant, I'm picking on you a little bit right now, you analysts out there, they tend not to do this, but it's the ability to experience life with a sense of adventure and excitement, fresh rediscovery, instead of always trying to find a serious side to things that don't even have a serious side. So we need to look at the value of serendipity and spontaneity. It's about the creation of things. It's about an incredible ability to create things out of air and to just be able to say yes to something just because it just feels different. It's just, you know, let yourself be spontaneous instead of analytical and get stuck in mechanisms and all the other things. The essence of pleasure is spontaneity. That comes from Germaine Greer. And the seventh principle is the principle of consistent self-renewal and self-improvement in all four dimensions of your life, physical, spiritual, mental, and social and emotional. And that's about us really looking at every single week we need to make contributions into, you know, as he says, it's you know, working on the saw. It's making sure that what we're doing is that we're sharpening the saw every single week of our life. We're making consistent self-renewal, self-improvement in all the dimensions of our life and not leaving any of them out so that we can stay with that balance. And as Stephen Covey's quote around this principle is, this is the single most powerful investment we can ever make in life. An investment in ourselves is the only instrument we have with which to deal with life and to contribute. So those are the seven principles. And there's an exercise around that one I left with you today on the outline, which is to list five principles that affect your life and then in what ways are you affected by them. So list five principles that affect you and your life on a daily basis and then look at the effect they have on you. How are you affected by those five principles? It's a great little exercise. Gives you a big aha on where you are today and where you're operating from. The seven habits, an overview of the seven habits, I'll run through them quickly, but one of the ways to really start understanding the seven habits, too, is to look at and analyze the opposite of the seven habits. So sometimes to really understand the habit, if we see what the opposite of the habit is, it gives us more insight into the habit. And let me run through those quickly. The first habit is to be proactive, and we're going to talk about that next week. Proactive, some of you say, well, Mary Jo, that just means taking action. It means more than that. In Covey's habit, he says being proactive is more than just being active. It's about taking responsibility for your actions. So it's about taking responsibility of how you play out in other people's lives, about how your relationships with people and all these kind of things. And so it's a bigger step than just taking action. The opposite to being proactive is to being reactive, and that's somebody who's the victim. It's a total victim mentality because instead of living your life by choice and commitment, you're living your life by chance and circumstance. You're living your life by reacting to what happens around you. So you can be a victim to everything that happens to you. And you don't take, when people react to people, don't take responsibility for their own lives. They feel like they're a total product of circumstances, their past, other people, whatever. They live in probability thinking. Their past controls their future. All that negative stuff. So you want to be proactive. Take responsibility. Second, the habit is begin with the end in mind. All that basically says is that we kind of live with purpose and direction in our lives. That's why we set goals. That's why we have a vision. That's why we work with that. You want to begin with the end in mind. If you begin with no end in mind, you end up exactly where you started, nowhere. You don't have a direction. You're not on a path. So you need to build a mission statement and live a life not based on society's values but on your self-chosen values. So choice and commitment versus chance and circumstance. Don't be a blade of grass. That's how I look at this. Don't let everything that happens to you cause that blade of grass to bend in the wind. The third habit is put first things first. And I love that when I kind of say don't be a dope. That's one of the sayings that Coach Roy came up with. Dope stands for somebody who doesn't organize, prioritize, and execute, D-O-P-E. So you can use that as a little acronym if you want to. It's about putting first things for organizing and executing around the most important priorities in your life. You put those things first. The opposite would be putting second things first. In other words, set crisis management. You're letting crises control your time. When you find yourself crisis management all the time, and some of you do that, you're letting the circumstances control. You're not prioritizing your life. And you can go total victim to it. People go total victim. They go, Mary Jo, you don't have what I have. Oh, give me a break. My sister-in-law shot and killed my brother. I don't have problems in my life. I all of a sudden had to raise, you know, three kids that I never expected on raising. I don't have issues in my life. I mean, you guys, you know, everybody likes to pretend like their life is so different and so overwhelming and so this and so that. I don't even want to hear about it. Prioritize and get out of crisis management. Your choice, total choice for you to do that. It's not the world that's causing this for you. Your choice. Okay, the next one is think win-win. Of course, this is always about finding the best possible mutual benefit for mutual people. So when you get in a group, it's about how do we all win instead of win-lose or lose-win, which is the way scarcity mentality generates for us. Yeah, we make withdrawals from people's emotional bank accounts instead of contributing to them. That's called win-lose or lose-win scenario. You don't want to come from scarcity mentality. It's coming from abundance. Always think in terms of win. We both can win in any situation. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. Wow, that's a huge habit. I love that one. And that one's all about what? It's about listening. It's about really showing how much you care with other people. It's listening. Listen with the intent to reply. We listen to the intent to understand versus listen to the intent to reply. You guys, sometimes when you listen, you're thinking about what you're going to say in response. That's not listen to understand. That's listening to reply. You need to listen to understand. Quit worrying about what you need to say next and really be with listening. The other side of the coin is seek first to be understood. That's what we do a lot in Manatech. We go out there and we just want to rail on people and volcano all over them, spew lava all over them instead of, you know, that you blow people away. You ruin the relationship before you even get started. 5 minutes later, the person looks at you like you're some kind of encyclopedia or something. That's not what we're about. We're about building relationships. So seek first to understand them. This is a need fulfillment business. If you don't understand their need, you're never going to be able to fulfill it. So you've got to seek to understand them, where they're coming from. The sixth habit is synergy, and that's basically the concept of 1 + 1 = 3. Synergistic people always seek an other ways, not my way, not your way, but there's a third way that's better than either one of us can come up with. Synergy is the fruit of really respecting and valuing and even celebrating one another's differences. It's about solving problems instead of augmenting problems or highlighting problems. The opposite of that is compromise, fight or flight. Negative, negative, negative results. You try to clone other people to be in your own image. That's not what life's about. It's about taking our differences and creating the best results from the differences that we have. Okay, and the last habit is habit 7, which is sharpen the saw. And that's the one really about constantly investing in yourself, investing in improving your physical, social, emotional, mental, and spiritual aptitudes, constantly investing in that. Ineffective people lack a program of self-renewal and self-improvement. And what happens when you don't have self-renewal and self-improvement in your life as an effective program in your life that you consistently work on, you eventually lose your cutting edge that you may have. So looking at these 7 habits, all habits are intersection of knowledge, what to do and the why, the skill, how to do it, and the desire, want to do it. All 3 must come together to form a habit. So an exercise around this would be to look at 2 of your habits that you have in your life. Just pick out 2 of your habits that you might have in your life today, 1 good, 1 bad, just to see the opposite. You know, analyze those 3 elements, knowledge, skill, and desire for each of the 2 habits, and see how they interact and must be present for the habit to exist, just so you really fluidly understand that concept. And the last thing on the outline today, which I'll go over quickly because we are already out of time, maturity continuum. And this just kind of gives you an idea of what these habits are about. The habits start, he builds it on a continuum. His book is on a continuum. The first 3 habits are built around what? The habit of be proactive, begin with the end of mind, put first things first, are about private victory. They're about you individually. It's about taking you and building you into a better person to be. It's about building habits around your life that create a greatness and more effectiveness in your life. So it's about taking you from a state of dependency where the paradigm of you is you take care of me, you know, you are in a dependent situation, to reaching an independent status. That you start having more self-esteem and capability and worthiness around yourself, that you don't have to feel that you have to be dependent on others to service you, that you can now, you know, help yourself, support yourself in being very effective. The second group of habits are really, we get into independence of the paradigm of I'm self-reliant, okay? The second group of habits, which are 4, 5, and 6, really go around what? They go around the more skilled areas of having a public victory, of your interaction with the world. Think win-win, how you interact with people, how can I create the best possible results? Synergy, 1 + 1 = 3. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. It's how you're interacting with other people. So you can see how you're building from independence to interdependence. How I interact with the world, interdependence, huge process. And then the last habit, of course, is sharpen the saw. It's about us renewing, which happens with all the habits. We continue to renew ourselves daily. We work on things and create aspects in our life that hold us accountable and keep adding to ourselves, that we renew and we keep reiterating to ourselves the way we need to be the most effective we can. Okay, now I'm going to take us off mute and just give you a couple seconds because I know I've lost a lot of people already because it's after the hour, but hang on. Okay, people, so how's that? Did we get a good start?
Terrific. Is this recorded somewhere and
absolutely.
How long before?
It is recorded and it's going to be on manatrain.net probably by 12 noon today. Lydia will have it up posted as an MP3 file so you can go over there. You bet.
Wow. Great.
You bet. So are you excited about having fun with this book over the next few weeks and really working on it?
I'm going to dust the dust off of it and get it down.
Yes, I think this is going to be great.
Yes, and what was the name of the book again, please?
The book is it's called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. And you probably could, if you don't have it, I'm going to suggest you get on Amazon and look under used books. You'll probably be able to get it because it's been out for so many years. One of the classics. You could probably get it for a few bucks rather than...
Oh, wow. Thank you.
You bet. That's
Thank
my
you.
Suggestion. Anyone else? Any last-minute comments? I know we're late,
thank
people,
you.
And I'm sorry for that, but we got...
Big thank you, Mary Jo.
You get you. I love you guys, and you guys have a great week. Don't forget, last week of the period, so take all the appropriate action to protect your people and try to dig through what we need to make sure all those team bonuses are getting paid and people are hitting their leadership level and just, you know, come to the business with that sense of joy that we all have. We're really on an incredible mission. I'm feeling so blessed to be a part of it.
Thank you so much.
I thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you, Mary Jo.
Have a great week. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mary Jo.
The moderator has disconnected.